This is Walks of Life by In the Know and Some Friends.
Hi, my name is Juliana.
My name is
Karen.
Hi, my name is
Kate.
Hi, I'm 20 years old and I'm in a big city in the Southwest. I'm currently on the routes to my old high school, where I, of course, left as a senior, and now I'm walking to it as a senior in college. I just finished a 9-month-long study abroad program in London, and it was a really, really great experience in a lot of ways. It taught me a lot of independence and freedom and all that, and it also, it taught me to be someone who had to be much more self-motivated. You know, it's something I do miss in a lot of ways. I don't have as much independence anymore. I have to have a car to go everywhere, and my car was taken by insurance last year, so. So right now in my life, I'm at a point that it's really difficult to say really where my life's gonna go from now. In terms of what I'm thinking about it, it really comes down to three things. You know, the freedom that I mentioned before, that I've lost now, a lot of stress that I'm beginning to prepare for in my senior year, and a lot of the gender dysphoria that has come back in full force recently. Throughout my life, I haven't exactly been the stereotypical man or boy. I was quite soft emotionally, you know, I did play sports, I did typical boy things, but I always had trouble fitting in with all the other boys. I used to cry a lot, I cried more than most of the girls, to be honest, and it was just this feeling of displacement consistently. But I never really thought about my gender, and eventually, this was after coming out as bisexual and understanding my sexuality, I discovered what it means to be non-binary. I just sort of read about it, I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, that fits me. I told a couple very close friends, and that was that. I was non-binary. So that moment for me was positive, for sure. Definitely not a negative moment. I just sort of thought that, and I'm like, oh, cool. But it sort of planted the seed of noticing all my mannerisms, the shape of my body, how I look, how I continue to masculinize. And so it continued to bug me. By the end of senior year, I was, you know, shaving my legs. I tried makeup for the first time. I just had this seed of dysphoria that was sprouting and growing and causing more and more pain every single day. Eventually, I did get a therapist, and over many months, I sort of processed this feeling of dysphoria and comprehended what it meant to transition both physically and mentally. One thing that really bothered me, disturbed me in the beginning, was hormones and how I felt I would continue to feel dysphoria and I would continue to feel irreversible changes through continued masculinization of my face, of my body, of everything. But also weighing it against the potentially permanent effects of estrogen and, you know, female hormones. You know, I still have anxiety. I had anxiety back then. And what I felt was this sense of dread that no matter what I did, I would be uncomfortable with the result. I spent another year and a half dwelling over this and thinking whether this was right or not for me, or whether this was just a phase, or whether this could just be cleared up through therapy. And what I discovered is that none of that was true. One of the main things I thought I needed to prove that this permanent change was right for me was to socially transition, at least with close friends. But, you know, when COVID hit, obviously those plans, they didn't make much sense anymore. There was no visiting other people. There was no real social gatherings or anything like that. So it was just a lot of introspection, really. A lot of thinking about transition. At one point, I actually started really doubting whether I could just be happy as a bisexual man and whether I'd be happy with just being in a gay relationship. And there's sort of interesting interaction between my sexuality and my gender, and that's I could never imagine myself in a straight relationship for the rest of my life. It always had to be a queer relationship. So back when I was male, I imagined myself marrying a man when I grew up. And so I just thought, well, maybe I could just be a very feminine bisexual man that would date other men. And, you know, some experiences I had, I realized that that was not necessarily the right path for me. But after doubting myself there, I went through a whole bunch of mental exercises, mental hoops, and eventually I decided, well, that I'd rather start hormones than not even try them at all. So on March 28th, 2021, I started hormones for the first time. I put on Cannibal Ox, their debut album, The Cold Vein. And on the last song, which is Scream Phoenix, I heard the lyrics Scream Phoenix, and then I basically just swallowed the pills for the first time. And it's a very vivid experience for me. But that was it, really, when it came to starting. I didn't tell anyone, really. I just kept it to myself, as well as my therapist and my doctor. And that was that for about a month. I didn't tell anyone, not even my closest friend, who was another trans person. I did everything on my own, without my parents knowing. And it was quite a shock when they found out. Eventually, I did come out to some people about a month later, but again, I didn't really want to talk about it. I didn't want to make a big fuss about it, because even then, I continued to doubt myself. Summer came around, and I was very depressed at this time. I just continued to, you know, think about dysphoria, and, you know, things got worse even as I began transitioning. You know, that month of peace that I had, peace of mind, kind of went away and was replaced with a lot of doubt, dysphoria, and just a whole ton of things. So in London, I started actually going by a different name. It was a very pleasant sort of surprise. I could at least go by a sort of non-binary identity in England, even if I did mostly present as male. I began to discover more of myself, much slower than most trans people, I think, really discover themselves. But I went to clubs, you know, I drank with friends, I did all these things. I sort of made peace more with my own identity. Dysphoria definitely heightened, that was, you know, obviously a thing. But I think I became more comfortable with myself at the same time. The most important episode, I'd say, of that whole experience was when I went to Europe. The first place I went actually was Germany, more specifically East Berlin. The main reason I booked a hotel in East Berlin is because it was near all the cool clubs. The main one I was interested in was this super exclusive club called Berghain. Elon Musk actually got denied from it. But I decided I was going to try it anyway. So I bought a whole outfit online, everything, learned a bit of makeup, and went out. And it was like 5 a.m. when I got there, because it took me forever to get ready. But I got there, I showed up. The most famous lead bouncer, Sven, he was there. I was a little intimidated, but I didn't let that show in my face. And he let me in, and it was crazy. Oh, and the most important part of this experience was that I decided to present as a woman. And I kind of passed for one. I spent the next 15 hours just being myself and in this really incredible environment where I could truly express who I was without any fear of judgment. So that was a very transformative experience. It didn't exactly translate into me presenting full time, but I felt really good about myself in that moment, and it's something I still look back to on this day and thinking, wow, that's a real milestone. When it comes to passing, for me, that has been a very difficult experience, because when you're able to pass, oftentimes that comes down to your physical stature or how your face looks, to be blunt, or how your voice sounds. To trans people, what passing basically means is that you're able to present as your preferred gender and to be seen and perceived and addressed as that gender without anyone really questioning it or without anyone thinking about it. Passing as a woman would often mean being referred to as ma'am, being referred to as she, her, without any question whatsoever. Passing 100% of the time, or as people say, going stealth mode, means that you don't have to worry about being seen as anything else. And for a lot of people, that is very desirable. For me, that almost is an ideal. That is something I wish. I wish I never had to think about my transness. I wish I never had to think about these things. But it's pretty controversial because it erases your transness and it erases identity for a lot of people. And that is not the ideal that people are looking to in society. People are looking to an ideal where gender doesn't matter and you don't have to be afraid of being trans. But having to think about these things and having to worry about passing often affects whether people transition or how they transition. It has definitely affected me. For me, transitioning is something I wish that I could pull off successfully and fully and feel amazing about, but it's something, you know, as a 6'1", broad-shouldered, large-frame person, it's not something I imagine I will ever be able to really do 100%. And for anyone, you know, like myself, who's extremely hard on themselves and tries to be realistic about everything, or in many cases even pessimistic, and doesn't like being trans or doesn't like the experience of dysphoria. Well, nobody likes it. Okay. It's really hard to talk about this stuff. When it comes to transness, it's not something I enjoy. It's not something I embrace, really. It's something I just kind of have to deal with. I love expressing the way I am, but the fact that I have to be trans in order to do that is something that's very hard to embrace. It's very hard for me to be proud of my identity for that. For those who are like me, who don't wish to inconvenience people if they're not presenting or want the easiest way possible, there's a lot of risks that you need to take in order to push your journey forward, because those things will make it that much better. For me, that was presenting in a club as a trans woman and just being referred to as she, her, without even people questioning it. And people saw me for who I was. Presenting as female can be very rewarding. Once you find the opportunity, once you find the right environment, even at home, you could try doing makeup. For me, voice training has been something that has really helped me. All those things are very difficult, but they're all so rewarding and they all make me feel great. While you might have some setbacks, while there might be a lot of dysphoria that you might experience after these things, they can move your transition forward and they can help you present as who you want to be. Anyway, so more recently, about the past month, I've come home and it's been quite difficult. The fact that I've been hiding it is something that a lot of my, you know, closer friends have been somewhat confused about. My identity really isn't something I can just ignore. My friends, recently, they've asked me, like, I noticed that you went to the men's bathroom instead of the women's bathroom. And shouldn't your friends refer to you in the way that you want to be referred to? And I realized my friends almost had more respect for my gender identity than I myself did. They're asking why I'm not comfortable. Not just comfortable in public and presenting to everyone, but just with my friends. And their point was that I should be comfortable with my friends. I should be comfortable presenting. And in a sense, I do that. You know, I changed my name recently and I've been asking my friends to call me by that name, but I'm never strict about pronouns. I don't really care about how they refer to me, just because, you know, I don't even put in the effort to presenting myself. Something I've been really wanting to talk about is my experience and one voice that doesn't really get that much attention. I mean, the reason why it doesn't get much attention is that one of the whole points of my transition is that I didn't really want to talk about it. So, hard to get a story out there, but the reason why I finally decided to start talking about it is just how frustrating it was to not see similar experiences being highlighted. All you hear about with most trans women is just, like, is this overwhelming confidence, this overwhelming euphoria almost from beginning transition and expressing themselves. And this is not what everyone feels. And it's really what a lot of people feel. It's what a lot of people who have experienced, you know, pretty acute dysphoria have felt. But for a lot of people, like myself, we see those experiences as the only ones out there. And we think, well, maybe transitioning is not for me. It's not something that I will ever want to feel this way about. It's not something I'll ever have the confidence to do to this extent. So I suppose I'll never really be like this. And what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't have to be like that. Everyone goes through different experiences. And the one that you hear about all the time, it's not all of us. A lot of us have a much slower process, a much more gradual process that is very much aided by hormones. It took me over a year on hormones to finally present even once in public with another group of people. It was actually my time at Bergheim. That was really the time I truly realized just how comfortable it could feel presenting as a trans feminine person. It's unfortunate that I haven't been able to really repeat it. I think I'm slowly working towards it. I think the biggest difficulty is that right now I'm living with my parents, and their thing is that they want the best for me, and I totally understand them, and they want to protect me, but ultimately, they cause me more distress than anything else at this point. I'm just watching the cars go by as I try to think about the next sentence that I have to say. I guess I have another thing I want to talk about as well. I don't have a very healthy way of dealing with things. I often think about things in extremes. In order to make a change, I need to feel like I'm making a change, and that way is often making an extreme change. Recently, I had a close call and almost lapsed into an eating disorder. Back in London, I decided that I was going to stop eating, like normal food, regularly. I've hated my body for a very long time now, and whether that's just gender dysphoria or body dysmorphia, I don't know. But one thing I was certain of was that I needed to lose some weight. I'm not an unhealthy person or anything like that. But I decided to basically eat under 1,000 calories a day. And on average, I did that over a period of 1.5 months, really. And within that period, I lost about 25 pounds. That is very unhealthy. Almost every day, I went to Pret a Manger in London. They had this like 25-pound a month subscription where you could basically get 5 coffees a day for free. So I did that, and I would just have a coffee, and then I would have another coffee, and then that would be it for the day. I would maybe treat myself to like a 100-calorie bag of popcorn, but that was it. That was all that I ate. Some days I would eat with friends because I just didn't want to give the impression that I wasn't eating anything. Eventually I stopped because exams took priority, but you know, in a way this sort of connects to my experience with transness and my trans identity, because I thought that transitioning isn't transitioning unless you make a major change. It was difficult for me to start hormones because I felt like I needed to make this big change in my life and how I was presenting. I needed to try on a dress, and I needed to present in public at least once, and then I could start hormones. It was like I was almost gatekeeping transition to myself. And one thing that I've sort of done in my transition and in the past 2 years was I was able to make peace with myself, and I was able to make peace with my own decision to transition. Transitioning to me has and will continue to be a very gradual process. There will be lots of pauses. There will be lots of times where I make breakthroughs. But ultimately, overall, it's not something that will be particularly rapid. And ultimately, that is a perfectly valid way of going about your transition, of just, you know, allowing yourself to feel comfortable with the process and feel comfortable with the change that you're making. And so How do I feel after saying all this? I feel pretty good about it. I feel almost how I felt when, you know, I tried on a dress for the first time. It was just a very comfortable, very relieving, therapeutic process, almost. I like to be able to share my thoughts about these kinds of things and my own experiences, hopefully to help anyone who can benefit from it, but also just to educate everyone on one of the many diverse experiences of trans people and how they're able to express their identity and their self. I think really it is something that I'm passionate about. It's something that has been quite difficult for me to properly explain and elucidate the feeling of dysphoria and the feeling of not feeling trans enough and the feeling of not feeling proud enough of my identity. But I think I did that well enough here. And I'm happy to get my story out there, really. Perhaps the lesson... there's no real lesson to this. This is really hard, not gonna lie. I didn't expect it to be this difficult. This is quite humbling, to say the least. I don't know. So, right now, I'm just trying to relax, I guess. But after this summer, I honestly don't know where my life is going to go. I expect to apply for research programs, research assistant programs. I might apply for somewhere in the private sector. And in terms of my transition, I know the one thing I will do when I go back to college is say that I've changed my name to everyone and reintroduce myself. Now, the ideal for me is clear. It's to present full-time and start working towards a PhD in economics. Whether those things will happen or if life will get in the way, I don't know. But I think you've got to try at least. And that's what I will continue to do.
Life is produced by In the Know, Some Friends, and Salt. It was created by Kareem Rama. Executive producers for In the Know are Alexander Hughes and Jordan Walker. Senior producer for In the Know is Alexandra Katsalis. Executive producers for Some Friends are Kareem Rama, Andrew Kuo, Kehlani Esparza, and Ayman Ismail. Original audio production, music, and sound design by Salt. Executive producers for Salt are Noah Gersh, Jamie Sheffman, Nick Panama, and Kenzie Wilbur. Salt Head of Production, Liz LeMay. Salt Head of Engineering, Jordan Galvin. Salt Head of Post-Production, Robert Adler. Edited and mixed by Parisa Kazemi. Sound design and additional audio editing by Noah Kowalski. Original music and composition by Jasper Van Dyke, courtesy of Extreme Music.